Hello and welcome to Addressing Dress, a production of the Dress Syndrome Foundation, focusing on the latest information about dress, drug reaction with eosinophilia and systemic symptoms. I'm Connie Stevens, and today's program is another in the lineup of episodes that are a bit more technical, aimed at members of the medical community and focusing on research. This episode features more discussion from the HHV6 Foundation's 2019 annual conference held in Quebec. Some background. 95% of the population has been exposed to HHV6, the human herpes virus. That primary infection is usually harmless, and the virus can remain dormant in our cells for years. However, in cases of compromised immunity, such as with a dress patient, the virus can reactivate, leading to severe complications and fatalities. And HHV6 is controversial. Many in the medical field downplay its significance, but now researchers are finding that the virus actually plays a role in a number of diseases, including Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, and chronic fatigue syndrome. In Canada, we had a chance to talk to one of the researchers at the forefront of these discoveries, Dr. Bhupesh Prusty from Germany. One of the cases he studied was that of Izzy McKinney, the Virginia teenager whose mother began the Dress Syndrome Foundation and whose story was featured in the first episode of this podcast. Listen as he tells us about a method where HHV6 can be detected in the very early stages of dress patients.
My name is Bhupesh Prusty, and I am a scientist at the Institute of Virology and Immunobiology at University of Würzburg, Germany. HHV6 is one type of the herpes virus. All herpes viruses are common, very frequent. 97 to 99% of the human population, once in their life, they get infected with the herpes virus, not only HHV6. Now, why HHV6 is different from other herpes viruses is that it is the virus which has the ability and the preference to integrate into the human chromosome. And when this happens in the germ cells, it can also be inherited from parents to the offsprings. So this is only known. We also saw the HHV7 also does the same, but somehow HHV7 is not stable. So HHV6 so far is the most frequent inherited virus in the population. So around 1% of human beings get the virus from their parents. So they have one copy of the virus in each cell of the body. This can go to 2.6% in Scotland. So that means that one in every 30 to 40 human beings has got the virus from their parents. This is the unique nature of this virus. The virus reactivates under various different conditions, natural infections like bacterial infection, chlamydia, which is also one of the frequent sexually transmitted disease, as well as we get chlamydia pneumonia infection in the lung. These reactivate the virus. Not only that, common prescription drugs, for example, a high amount of hydrocortisone in skin ointments can also frequently reactivate the virus. Being a frequent virus, frequently detected virus, has its own demerits. Because it is frequently detected, even in healthy people, the clinical community ignores this because they think that the virus is not doing anything. Yes, when we get the first infection, normally virus, the clinical symptoms are not bad. You get 3 days of fever, red rashes in the skin, and then afterwards everything is normal. And that's the reason why clinical community believes that the virus doesn't cause any clinical condition that should be given priority. In the last 5 to 10 years, there is increasing evidence. For example, in transplant cases, it is now well accepted that the 6B reactivation is the most important cause of rejection. Now we are learning slowly that the dress cases, there is frequent reactivation of the virus. So it needs time, spreading of the knowledge to the clinicians. They should understand that we can simply do not ignore the importance of these viruses in the disease. Simply, there is a huge gap in the knowledge between the research community and the clinicians. And this has to be overcome. There are a lot of instances where knowledge of HHV6 for the general community is more important than even only in trace or something. You have to know about it. And this is high time. You go to the clinicians, tell them that, okay, tell your patients that HHV6 is important. They simply ignore it. They will say, oh, herpes virus, don't care about it. Nothing happens. In last 2 years, I have seen a huge amount of difference in our understanding and our interest in, like, general population interest in understanding. The reason being is that it is now well understood in some specific type of diseases that HHV6 is very important. For example, chronic fatigue syndrome. This is one emerging disease where there is no solution for the patients and everyone is desperately looking for solution. HHV6 is an emerging pathogen. A lot of clinical aspects of HHV6 has not been understood, but the work which has been done by us or others last 5 years points to the idea that HHV6 reactivation, particularly late in situ reactivation, is extremely important from the point of view of clinical conditions. So it should not be ignored, should be included in all type of pathological analysis, should be given importance, and wherever there is a possibility and finding of HHV6 in analysis, it should be given high priority to understand that if this is the one of the factor responsible for the disease. Once we start following this, it would be easier. Also, we will gain information that under which conditions it probably doesn't play any role. It is rather than a cause, it can be an effect also. But we have to know it if we give importance in clinical care. Yeah, I mean, not only dress, pregnant women who have inherited HHV6 very often reactivate the virus during pregnancy, not only because of the immune suppression, which is happens during the pregnancy, the body suppresses immunity, but also because of use of certain medications during the pregnancy. For example, progesterone, which is given to pregnant women very often, can reactivate the virus, and this leads to loss of pregnancy, miscarriages, or death of the child immediately after birth. You should know that HHV6 is a virus which can cause, which can cross placental barrier. So mother can reactivate the virus and can transmit to the fetus inside the uterus. If you are a person with chromosomally inherited virus, you have to be careful. You have to be careful in many aspects of life. So whose responsibility is it to tell the world that these viruses can be complicated in these type of simple conditions, right? We have an inherent innate immunity from our body, from the cell, which keeps the virus reactivation suppressed. It just removes the reactivation from the cell. We don't realize it. It happens probably very frequently. But it just might happen that some of these HLA molecules on the surface, they bind to certain drugs. This is, some drugs bind efficiently, some drugs doesn't bind efficiently. And this process brings down the innate immunity of the cell, because it's known that HLA molecules, they modify the innate immunity. So when the innate immunity of the cell goes down, virus reactivation finds an ideal environment to go ahead and cause damage to the cell. So for me, it will be very hard to tell what is the damaging factor. It can be drug binding to HLA, it can be viral reactivation causing autophagy, mitophagy, and then inflammation in this body. So that can be one reason. But whatever that information might be, it comes to the same point that we create an environment in the cell which is not ideal for the cell. Right, it's not ideal for the body, the inflammation in the body which goes up. It just might be possible that the inflammation from all these resources makes the body completely pathologically not survivable. But still, it is the cause and the effect phenomenon. In the coming years, we will understand it more and more, and that will help in focusing certain part of the process which we probably can also interfere with. You know, there are other aspects to this fight also. How much you can do from point of view of the research. right? You want to write a grant to get a money to do research on dress, no one will give you, right? No one will bother about it because there is no enough clinical evidence to tell that, yes, this is the case. Being a patient, you probably know it.
Can you talk a bit about the unique course of reactivation of HHV6 with a dress patient? For instance, if I were a clinician and I was considering a patient for dress, what do I need to know about how HHV6 might present, how to test them for it, and then, in fact, what to do if we find that there's, in fact, a reactivation?
HHV6 reactivation happens very early after the drug treatment or any reaction to the drug. And the preliminary symptoms of HHV6 reactivation is clinically visible, for example, red rashes or flu-like symptoms and things like that. This particular episode of HHV6 reactivation is actually not that bad, because this is where the immune system of the body understands that there is a reactivation going on. And we have always inherent fighting power from our immune system to get rid of it. But the problem is that when the virus goes out of this rapid phase of showing its symptoms and then come to a stage where the body doesn't detect the virus is there, it is not anymore replicating, not anymore producing viral particles. If you go to the clinical parameters where there is less viral load, so the clinician will say that the virus is gone. You don't have to care about it. But this is the phase which is actually very important. And here is the situation where your body doesn't understand that the virus is still there and doing something. And this slow process of killing the cell is clinically extremely relevant. And this has to be clearly followed using more advanced techniques and more advanced way of diagnosing this middle part, not just looking into the viral DNA. So if someone detected, or some dress patient is detected with HHV6 or 7, something like that, reactivation in early phase, my suggestion would be that just don't ignore it. At every point of time, you keep following it for a long time, rather. If you have any clinical situation going up and down, but the viral load is still not there, that is the time when you have to be more cautious about HHV6 rather than before, right? So I would suggest that a very systematic approach of looking into HHV6 during the whole progression period is very important. It just might be happen that someone get treated with HHV6 in dress cases or any other drug and they are perfectly fine afterward. But I would suggest them to follow it up for a couple of years, because this can show up in terms of neurological problems in later life.
We hear from a lot of patients on our social media sites that have had their initial experience with dress, and now it's maybe months, a year, 2 years, sometimes 3 years later, they're having a lot of complications, diabetes, thyroiditis, all kinds of things. Yeah. Their hair's falling out sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. is there a thought that the HHV6 virus is part of that?
Definitely. I mean, we know that thyroiditis is caused by HHV6A. We have neurological disorders. For example, we saw that in bipolar disorder and depression patients, HHV6 is in there in the Purkinje neurons. Cerebellum is affected, and we can have HHV6 anywhere in the body. Where it is reactivating decides what type of symptoms you will get. If you have a reactivation in the cerebellum, you probably get impairment of your day-to-day life. You probably feel your response to holding a glass of water or reacting even within your family. It all comes. But if you have the same thing in the frontal part of the brain, you probably will have a different effect. The same thing if you have reactivation in the skin, liver, kidney, where it is will decide what type of disease you will get. And thyroid is one part where the virus reactivation is probably very frequent, and that's why, and you know that the virus, some part of the viral genome or viral proteins, they are like autoantibodies. So the body detects as a, and they start producing. So they lead to autoimmune disorders.
So is there any hope for these patients that continue to suffer?
So it cannot be generalized. It's always a good idea to keep following it for at least some time. And if you have any other symptoms later on, don't think that it is not related to HHV6. Just go for it. I mean, this is also a question how you can detect it, right? Normal diagnostic techniques, which is also rarely available, is not enough to detect all these things. Yeah, so you need more advanced technique, and we are hopeful that we can bring it to the general public in a better way. Yeah, how you can know that HHV6 is reactivating in a transient way? It's not the way of reactivation that you can detect in blood. So if I go with blood sample to a diagnosis lab with a viral reactivation, which is, let's say, very transient, right? Can I detect it in the blood test? This is my question. No, I cannot detect it. I need more thorough testing, which is not provided by a diagnosis lab at this moment, right? We have it in our lab, we are working on it, we're developing it, but we cannot do it. The patients can't get it in the diagnosis lab, right? So even if you go to the diagnosis lab, you may or may not get the right diagnosis at this moment.
Yeah. And let's say we get to a point where we are able to diagnose it better.
Yeah.
Then what? If you're a patient and you know that you have the virus and that it's an issue for you health-wise, what to do about it?
There are two conditions in which, so there are very efficient drugs against HHV6, anti-herpes virus drugs. They are working in other conditions. For example, chronic fatigue syndromes are getting benefited with anti-herpes virus drugs, even if they do not know whether HHV6 is doing or something. But there are clinicians who are believing in HHV6 doing something in chronic fatigue syndrome, and they're getting benefited. The same way, patient can be benefited if they know that HHV6 is a truly active form. And the other way is we can probably treat about the if the HHV6 is in a condition which cannot be treated with the present drugs, we are working on new compounds. But still, we can work upon the effect of this reactivation. So we developed a sort of a biomarker to tell that HHV6 is reactivated. And we are now implementing this biomarker in transplant cases. It's because the clinicians know that this is a good one and we can do it. So it takes time, hard to tell when.
I have a question specifically about your recent research on your findings on small non-coding RNA mm-hmm. in early stage HHV6 reactivation and how that could eventually help aid in DRESS diagnosis. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so what we have found is that there is a huge difference between the classical knowledge of viral reactivation and the stage of the virus reactivation, which is actually clinically important. And this we say in an intermediate stage where the virus DNA is not undergoing replication. There is no viral late proteins. So if you will not have any immunological reactions. If you go for antibody testing, serological testing, you will not get it. You go for diagnosis of viral DNA, you will not get it, but still you have something on. And this is being defined by small non-coding RNAs being expressed in the cell. And we saw that these individual small non-coding RNAs, which are small, tiny molecules of only 23 nucleotide, which is just nothing, they have tremendous impact on host cell physiology. Let's say inflammation. In a cell, if you reactivate the virus, we saw that the mitochondria is completely fragmented. And this fragmented mitochondria leads to suppression in metabolism of the cell. The cell slows down, and this process goes on for a longer period. The cell goes to senescence. Senescence is a type of cell death. It's a slow process of cell death. And when the cell dies, if it happens in the blood cell, probably nothing happens because blood cells are fast growing and they divide. But it happens in a cell which is not fast growing. Let's say neurons. Neurons never divide after birth. So you kill the neuron, you lose the capacity of that neuron, but at the same time, you create inflammation because once the cell dies, the other cells in the surrounding responds to it. And this leads to inflammation, and this inflammation is not good. This is most of the times the cause of many other phenomena. We also have another non-coding RNA which probably might be involved in developing Alzheimer's. Yeah. So these are the new ideas, and we believe that these small non-coding RNAs are extremely potent viral molecule to cause disease, and there should be an ideal biomarker for detecting, because the small molecules are extremely stable. You can degrade your mRNA in the cell if you keep the cell outside for a couple of minutes, but these small non-coding RNAs are stable for years. So if you have a paraffin section from 10-year-old biopsy, you still can detect the small non-coding RNA. You probably even not get the viral DNA, probably. So they are very strong biomarkers, highly potent biomarkers. They have clinical significance. Yeah. So,
how could that specifically help in the future in diagnosing a DRESS patient?
DRESS patients, we are developing new tools to go to blood. At this moment, we can do it in tissues, but you can't take tissues from DRESS patients. But we have been doing DRESS patients with Professor Descamps' skin biopsies. We are efficiently detecting the viral reactivation in skin biopsies using these small non-coding RNAs. They're so powerful. And probably skin biopsy is one easy way of doing it. But we are even trying to do non-invasive way of doing it in blood. But it needs more development of techniques, easy way of amplifying it by PCR, and we are working on it.
And if and when we get there to be able to do this as a more common practice, yeah. Is the theory that you would be able to possibly detect HHV6 in a DRESS patient or diagnose a DRESS patient more quickly?
Yeah, of course. We are in a situation at this moment to detect HHV6 reactivation at an early stage of reactivation, when you get a rhesus and things like that. Yeah, that's the most, the first response condition when you can reactivate the HHV6, and we can tell, okay, it's just not possible that every DRESS patient will have HHV6. Might be, right? But at least we can difference it. We can tell this patient have HHV6, this patient needs different care rather than this patient's. Yeah. So it's like sort of a personalized medicine. You can decide the treatment strategy based on your findings.
Currently, the way that it works is that it's HHV6, if it's going to reactivate in a DRESS patient, tends to reactivate a couple weeks down the road of the first onset of DRESS symptoms like a rash and a fever. Mm-hmm. So it's not... at the way that we test it now, peripherally in the blood, it's not generally detected until a couple weeks after the patient has already started into the condition, into the illness. This could potentially, down the road, allow us to detect it earlier and thus maybe start treating the patient differently earlier.
Yeah, so the first reactivation is most of the times localized. A RAS can be a reactivation in the skin. You may not get the virus in the blood at that time. And most of the times we look for blood, right? So if you look for blood at that time, you may or may not find the DNA where it is being reactivating in the skin. And then this reactivation then starts to produce other type of cytokines, or if it is a productive viral infection, then the other viral proteins, then they are dispersed in the blood. And then after for a long time, you can find it in other parts of the body. My explanation would be that if we have a rash in the initial phases and then we go for a small biopsy from the skin and then test it, we will find HHV6 even faster than the blood, right? But it may sound a little bit of invasive process. You can't tell a rash person that I would like to take a biopsy from your skin, but my knowledge is correct, Professor Descamps is doing it, and we checked their skin biopsies, old skin biopsies, and beautiful finding of HHV6 A, B in the samples, and which perfectly matched to their PCR findings. And in some of the samples, they do not have PCR finding of positivity, but we have it in the skin biopsies. This tells us that probably skin biopsy is a more efficient way instead of blood.
I think that's huge and very exciting. From my point of view, that could save lives and suffering if we could detect it earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
What are the roadblocks to this particular research, these findings, and moving forward?
I mean, we are trying to moving forward, but the roadblocks is, like, for example, finding the viral small non-coding RNA in the biopsies. We have done everything that we could do to establish the technique, and the technique is in the lab. I can't take it to the clinic by myself or any private firm to provide it as a service, but yeah, we have it in the lab. But we would like to make it even easier to look into serum or the blood. It is possible probably to do it, but that technology needs development and that needs funding.
That was virology and microbiology researcher Dr. Bhupesh Prusty talking to us from the HHV6 Foundation's annual conference. Now, it has long been a mystery just why HHV6 preferentially reactivates in DRESS. In Japan, it's actually part of the diagnostic criteria for the scoring system, JSCAR, that defines DRESS. And that's also known there and referred to in this next interview segment as DIS, Drug-Induced Hypersensitivity Syndrome. That's been the center of extensive research by Dr. Hideo Asada of Japan's Nara Medical University.
After resolution of DIS, the patient still have complications such as chronic inflammatory diseases. It's a kind of autoimmune disease, such as the type 1 diabetes, or thyroiditis, or arthritis, sometimes encephalitis. Yeah, it's many kinds of inflammatory diseases that the patient have later. The onset of disease is pretty late, and also HHV6 reactivation is more late. So that is a problem. If we compare DRESS patient with HHV6 reactivation and DRESS patient without reactivation, the patient with HHV6 reactivation is usually show more severe manifestations. So I think HHV6 reactivation is a very important point of this disease, I think.
You can find the research of Dr. Asada and his team on the HHV6 Foundation's website. We've also got a link to it on the program notes of this podcast episode, as well as a link to the medical research of Dr. Bhupesh Prusty at the DRESSSyndromeFoundation.org website. That's where you'll find interviews with patients of DRESS and a wealth of information about the condition. That's DRESSSyndromeFoundation.org. And you can also share your own information on the site. Thank you for joining us, and a special thank you to the HHV6 Foundation. We really appreciate the team there for helping us connect with so many researchers working in the global field to change the course of DRESS for everyone in the future.